So the man for whom I'm named, which incidentally is not the actor Bill Murray, was my grandfather, William Selden Murray, well, number two. He was, I'm four, so I guess he's technically junior. But my grandfather, Bill, was one of those guys who liked to repurpose everything. Maybe because he was a child of the Great Depression, but he didn't want to throw away anything, and he was constantly making things new, taking things that used to be used one way and using them in a completely new and different way. There are multiple stories, more than we can count. His favorite, of course, was when Roanoke was starting to tear down some of the great old movie palaces in the 50s and 60s, started tearing down those grand old buildings. He went and bought a piece of marble and turned it into a beautiful table for the living room. Now, he loved to tell my grandmother and other people that it was a piece of marble from the urinals in the men's room. We're not sure if that was true or if he just liked to say that to drive my grandmother nuts. It worked either way. But it was definitely repurposing something old. One day, the church made a decision to redo everything inside the space, specifically the baptismal font, and he asked, what are you going to do with the stand on which the baptismal font stands? It was a beautiful piece. They said, we don't know. We'll probably just put it in storage somewhere. And so he bought it and turned it into a lampstand for the house. He was the kind of guy who, if they were going to, and he had a farm, if they needed something in the farm, he had two choices. You could go buy a 10-horsepower engine, or if you were my grandfather, you could find 4 3-horsepower engines and a whole bunch of belts and put them together in strange sort of Rube Goldberg-like machines and make it work using all sorts of spare parts. For free is what he would say, but it never seemed quite to be free. It always seemed to be a whole lot of work. But he was famous for always doing these kinds of projects. For that matter, the whole family was famous for doing these projects. William Selden Murray I actually built a machine because he got tired of stoking the fire in the morning for the furnace to get the house warm. So he tried to do a conveyor belt where he dumped coal into the furnace. For those who don't know, you don't put coal on top of a coal fire. It creates a methane bubble. So he actually blew up the entire kitchen on the back of the house with his contraption. But they were famous for taking things that had one purpose and putting them to new use, taking what was old and making it new. And if we get nothing else out of today's gospel lesson, that's ultimately what's going on. Being a resurrected people is taking something old and making it new. Now, today's gospel reading is perhaps the most broadly comedic, silly, goofy, and crazy story you can imagine in all of Scripture. But because we handle it with kid gloves or we proclaim it holy, we don't really listen to what's going on. So everything has happened. Peter has been with Jesus for 3 years. He has followed him all over the world, or at least what he thought of as the known world. He saw miracles. He watched his friend die. He saw him raised again, met him on Easter, and celebrated with the rest of the disciples. And after all of that, after all of those things, our story starts today, and Peter basically is sitting there saying, what should we do? All the disciples are going, what should we do now, Peter? To which Peter goes, I don't know, let's go fishing. He's from South Galilee, by the way, if you didn't know. Good old Peter. He basically goes, I don't know. I'm going to go back to what I did before, which was to be a fisherman. I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess I'll just go back to being a fisherman. So they go back and they go fishing. And it turns out they're really not good at fishing. And so they're hanging out. They've fished all night. They pretty much caught nothing. And a person shows up on the seashore and tells them, little children or little ones, doesn't look like you have any fish. Why don't you try the right side of the boat? Now, we should absolutely hear someone making fun of people. We need a sarcasm font or something here because that's absolutely what it is. If you're a fisherman, if you've even fished once in your life, you know you fish off both sides of the boat. That's how it works. And for someone to come up to you and go, hey, didn't catch anything? Did you try the right side of the boat, buddy? Is clearly someone teasing as much as they're giving grand instructions. They're mocking and playing as much as anything else. The disciples fish off the right side of the boat. They catch so many fish that the boat's about to sink again. And then we have what has got to be one of the best exchanges in all of Scripture. The beloved disciple says, "Hey, I think it's Jesus," to which Peter, who was fishing naked, I'm not really sure what that's about. It's an interesting visual. Peter is fishing naked and decides to get dressed so he can jump in the water to swim to shore. It doesn't get much more absurd than that. I mean, I guess you don't want to be naked when you see Jesus, but the rest of it makes no sense at all. It's completely goofy and silly and wonderful. It's joy personified, really, right? Your friend comes to see you and you just get so excited you can't figure out what you're supposed to do, so you just make a whole bunch of silly choices and just go out and do it. So he meets him on the shore, and then we have a beautiful and elegiac moment. It's simple, but we don't really see it because we have to know the details. Jesus is cooking breakfast on a fire, and it says a charcoal fire. That's the accurate translation. The actual word in Greek is anthracite, which is anthracite coal. It's a coal fire, which is not something you really want to cook on, by the way. That's a very smoky fire and not particularly great to smoke on, to cook on. But there's only one other time in all of Scripture where anthracite, that Greek word, shows up in the New Testament. And it's a moment when Peter is warming himself by a fire in the middle of the night, and people are asking him, "Do you know Jesus? Do you know that guy? Don't you know? I thought you were with that guy." And of course, three times he denies him. So Jesus makes another anthracite fire and then asks good old Peter three times, "Do you love me?" We're supposed to hear that echo because it's that threefold denial that leads to Jesus saying, "I love you. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And Peter saying, "Yes." And it's in that moment that then, well, Jesus decides to make something new. Because he started out as a fisherman. Even that day he was back to fishing, good old Peter. But Jesus makes him a shepherd real quick. "Go out and try something new. Go out and feed my sheep, tend my lambs, love my people, Peter. Go out and do the work you're meant to do. Even if you denied me and betrayed me and abandoned me, you are now part of the family and I need your help. You are forgiven and loved and renewed." This is what it is to be a resurrection people, to be on one hand broken and sinful and every bit as wrong as Peter was on that night of denial, and at the same time to be loved and accepted back in and sent out to do God's work. It is the mystery of our faith in so many ways, that when God has every reason to say, "Y'all are a mess and I want nothing to do with you," he still says, "I love you anyway, and I want you to be part of this, and I want you to do this together." We are, in so many ways, like Peter and the rest of the disciples. We are sent out in our own time. We come in thinking we've got one purpose, and by the time it's all said and done, we learn something new about ourselves and about God, that we are forgiven and loved and renewed. We are sent out. We might start as fishermen or a thousand other things, but at the end of the day, we're all called to be those shepherds in so many ways, to love the people around us, to care, to go out and transform the world. We are, well, in so many ways, like my grandfather's tables or 100 other things, people who come in with one purpose and come out with a new one, resurrected, made new creations. And so we celebrate that this day and always, knowing that God loves us and redeems us and makes us new, a new creation in Christ, a new people sent out to love the world. Amen.